Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
There are four games left. If the New York Mets can win their games, they're going to the playoffs. If the Yankees can win their games and get one more piece of help, they're going to kind of improbably win the American League East. So here we are. It's gut check time. And let me start with the Yankees. We'll get to both in the open, and we'll get to your calls at 888-808-1019. For you, Sean, who I think you do a really good job of representing the disgruntled, angry Yankee fan.
Unfortunately.
I don't fully understand you guys half the time, but you do. You guys are in great position to steal the American League East, which means home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And as I've said many times, when they have it in the Boone era, they do not lose. Don't you agree that if somehow over these next four games, you can gain one more on Toronto to take the American League East, that everything you have said and thought about this team should change?
Yes. Yes. Now, maybe not as far as winning a World Series, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. My biggest fear of this team, and part of the reason I absolutely nosedived in this team in the last 2 months, is especially when they didn't sweep the Blue Jays a couple weeks ago, you don't win the division, you're going to end up at a best of three. At the time, I thought either Houston or Boston, and you're going to start Max Fried in game one. There's a good chance you lose with Max Fried on the mound, and your season is over in the blink of an eye, especially if it was the Boston Red Sox. But man, avoiding that best of three dicey situation and getting home field advantage while winning a division and sitting back and waiting for a week was the path that got the Yankees there a year ago and is a path that I think changes everything about this team this year.
But there's something else that we do mistakenly throughout the 7 months of a baseball season or the 6 months of a baseball season. It's long and it's a roller coaster. Even in years that aren't as roller coastery as like the Mets season, there's highs and there's lows of a baseball season.
Definitely.
When we sat here in March, the Yankees over-under was 91.5. That was the reasonable expectation for the New York Yankees. Well, here we are with four games to go, and despite all the things that we couldn't have predicted, like Gerrit Cole hasn't thrown a pitch this season, like Luis Gil missed a bunch of time, like Aaron Judge missed 10 days.
Sure.
All the things you couldn't have predicted. Giancarlo Stanton wasn't playing for the first 2 months. Anthony Volpe you wanted to send down. They couldn't beat the Red Sox. They couldn't beat the Blues. All the stuff that we experienced over 6 months, the Yankees are in the exact position we predicted they would be, which is low to mid-90s with a real chance to win the American League East. And so I think we get caught up in the roller coaster, but at the end of the day, despite all the things that cause such emotions over the course of the season, the New York Yankees are where you thought they'd be,
sure,
where I thought they'd be, where basically everybody reasonably thought they would be before the roller coaster began.
Yeah, now I will be fair, though. I thought the American League would be better than it was a year ago where the Yankees tussled with the Royals and Guardians. I thought the Royals would be even better this year. I thought the Texas Rangers would have a rebound this year. I thought the Tigers would hang on and not do what they did this year. And a funny thing happened along the way. Evan ended up being right about the American League from the beginning of the year.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, Evan was right about the American League. So while it is fine to be a disgruntled, angry Yankee fan and not believe in the actual team as itself, unfortunately, all you could do is grade them amongst their peers. How many 2 years ago we did the peer tier thing in the NFL? And the peer tier tells you that this Yankee team, as we sit with four games left to go and now seeing another Blue Jay loss last night, man, if they could close this and avoid that dicey best of three, in the low to mid-90s, maybe where we thought they were going to be, but they're going to be better projected through the postseason and set up that way. And also, Another thing happened along the way with that Yankee team. You mentioned everything they didn't have. Trent Grisham stepped up and ended up becoming one of the most clutch players in baseball. And the numbers he put up was something nobody saw coming
well,
for the year. Look,
we got here maybe not exactly the way we predicted it. Like, for example, I think if we were having this conversation in the middle of March, and we did, and we were figuring out how the Yankees were going to get to 91, 92, 93 wins, the outfielder who was going to put up those numbers was Jason Dominguez. And it's disappointing he didn't. It's disappointing he's no longer really a starter on this team. But baseball has a funny way of working out.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be Trent Grisham.
Right.
But at the
and it could be Dominguez going forward. But for this year, absolutely.
But at the
Grisham forced the issue.
At the end of the day, the Yankees are going to end up pretty much where we thought, which is, as, in my opinion, the team to beat in the American League. They are right there in finishing the season with the best record in the American League. And where they deserve a ton of credit is, I know the White Sox are bad. All right, we get it. The Twins are bad. I get it. As you look around baseball, as you look around at Toronto and even the Mets struggles, all these other teams, the Astros, who, by the way, how are they doing against the A's? I must have missed it. How are they doing? How are the Reds doing against the Pirates?
I told you it was an old-timers team.
Beating crappy teams is not easy. We act like it is. It's not. And to the Yankees' credit, they are beating them constantly. Now, they've got four more to go because they still need to win these final four games, hope for a little bit of help. They can't get tripped up. And that almost feels like unfair. Like, you get tripped up in baseball. You don't beat the bad teams all the time. But to the Yankees' credit, they kind of have. They've destroyed the bad teams. And I think that there is credence to how important that is instead of just, well, it's the White Sox. Who cares?
Look,
you got to win these games, and the Yankees have done as good of a job beating the bad teams as anybody else. That's not fool's gold, Tommy. That's what you need to do to secure the number one seed in the league.
And
not everyone does it.
No, and frankly, there were moments the last two nights where I thought the Yankees weren't going to do it. I mean, the night before where they need magic at the end, the bottom of the ninth, where they were listless with their bats all night. And even last night, you load the bases in the first inning, you strand it. I thought they were dead in the water.
You thought they were dead in the water against the White Sox?
I've seen enough Yankee games to know when you strand the bases loaded like that, but they, boom, King Judge rises and the whole thing happens. So they are finding ways to do it, and you have to give them credit for that.
I do have an observation about the Chicago White Sox, and I want to be very careful with how I say this because I'm not accusing anybody of anything, okay? I want to make that very clear. So we live in a world in which players have been investigated for having FanDuel accounts or DraftKings accounts, and, ooh, that was weird. Like, in the NBA, we've had the player prop scandals.
See the Cleveland Guardians closer who hasn't been closing.
Emmanuel Clase doesn't exist anymore. So this is unfortunate because I preface this with, when somebody in baseball does something so bad over and over again, you start to wonder, like, hey, do they have an account? Like, it does go through your mind. So now that I got that out of the way, now I'm going to rip someone for how bad they've looked. And it just makes you wonder, like, what the hell's going on? Are they this bad or is something going on? What's up with Michael Taylor? Michael Taylor didn't die for a line drive on the Yankee walk-off, in which he should have. Everybody noticed that. Everyone who watched the game said, whoa, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then last night, he slows up on a fly ball up the gap. I think it was the Jazz Chisholm hit.
Yes.
His at-bats are listless. He was 0-for-3 with two strikeouts. It's just, is he that bad or... I'll just leave it at that.
I mean, look,
is he that bad? Maybe he's bad.
Anything could be. He could be that bad. I think Michael Taylor has all the reads of a player in the last week of a dead season that's going, I'm not pulling a single muscle. I am getting on the golf course Monday, and that is it.
Okay. I'll believe you.
But
just write that down.
Hard subject to change in this day and age in sports.
No, I honestly don't think anything. It's just when you see bad performances now, and I think it's just the state of the world we live in. I mean, unfortunately, when you see bad performances, you're like, damn, that's weird. Yeah, he's bad. But to the Yankees' credit, they've taken advantage of it.
But they've taken advantage of it. If we're going to spin this forward, I'm going to say this now. The Blue Jays have done their part in handing this back to the Yankees. Now, not all the way yet because you lost the tiebreaker. There are four games left. Forget the idea of asking the Yankees to go 6-0. The two games already banked. Look at this as a four-game season. You've beaten all the bad teams. White Sox, three with the Orioles, all at home. You got to do your part now. You got to go 4-0.
You're going to kill them if they lose one of these games? You're going to kill them. You're going to crush them.
The division changes everything about this team. You are playing four. It's two bad teams, but let's just say four games versus bad teams. Go win all four. If the Jays happen to win all four, so be it.
No, I think if they lose a game in the final four, which is normal because you don't beat the bad teams 100% of the time, I think it would be just fair to look back at your regular season games against Toronto and said, man, if one would have been turned,
definitely,
it changes everything.
That comeback they didn't finish.
But I cannot, and I completely agree with you, I cannot minimize the difference between being a division champion with the number one seed in the American League versus a wild card series. And I've had this argument, I think Tommy and I actually had it last year, more in the National League with, hey, I'd almost rather have the momentum, I'd rather play the wild card series. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I know you've said that before to me, right?
I have. Now, I think in the case of the Yankees, it suits them better to have the home field because they play better at home.
100%. Like, I get everybody's different, but what I would always argue,
and the longer the series goes, I think it benefits a Yankee team as opposed to the short, boom, two bullets and you're done.
Yeah, I get you. I think it just benefits you to not have the risk of losing two out of three. Anybody can lose two out of three. I wouldn't want to risk it. It's why divisions matter. It's not the end-all, be-all. Clearly, we've seen that you can win the division and get knocked out immediately. I mean, it's happened a lot. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it is such a difference for this Yankee team, and really for anybody, to go right to the divisional series with home field versus playing two out of three. Now, on the Mets side of things, the Mets had a weird night last night. They sucked. They lost. Jonah Tong was bad. Blah, blah, blah. Their defense was bad. The Mets basically continued to play the way they've played for the last 4 months.
Except for that Tyrone Taylor throw earlier.
That was a great throw by Tyrone Taylor. And the Francisco Alvarez had a two-run home run. And Ryan Helsley looked good. Great. You found the positives. Can we move on now?
Yes.
What was weird about last night, and I'm going to do it throughout the day, is that the Reds and Diamondbacks games matter as much as the Mets games. That's just the facts now. We are at the nitty-gritty of this season. And I've said this a million times, there's nothing that can change the fact that the Mets have had a disastrous regular season. Okay? No matter what happens. Nope. They make the playoffs with 84 wins. I'm glad they made the playoffs. It was a disastrous regular season. So we've all accepted that. But the Reds losing last night the way they did was huge. The Diamondbacks, after they rallied and then they hold Ohtani and Betts and Freeman with the Manfred man not scoring a run, was huge. And they still lost. The Diamondbacks did. And so the Mets actually had a night last night, and I'm still trying to come to grips with this, where they sucked and they got their ass whooped, but they still control their future.
Yeah, you almost wake up forgetting the Mets actually lost their game.
That's the problem. I don't, but I also understand that if the Reds and the Diamondbacks are going to continue to you-know-what-the-bed, then, yeah, the Mets may not have to win all four games. Because God knows I don't trust them to, and I can't imagine how anybody would. But I do admit that this pennant race is causing such weird emotions where when I put my head on the pillow last night after the Dodgers held on in the 11th inning, and yes, I am staying up till 1 a.m. watching this, I went to bed and I was like, okay.
What date do you get sick, by the way? November 4th?
Saturday. Yeah. It's coming up.
Oh,
but that's where we are with the Mets. And what's happening, and you got to agree with me on this, every Met fan, including you, positive, Tommy, has to agree with me. The Reds losing and the Diamondbacks losing would make missing the playoffs worse than it was even 4 days ago. Because it's not like someone's grabbing it. No one's grabbing it. They're all allowing the Mets more opportunities to grab it. And so if they miss the playoffs, which is still on the table, and to me still the likeliest scenario, I think it gets worse by the day because of how inept the Reds have been, and how the Diamondbacks couldn't take advantage of it at least last night.
They've begged the Mets to pad a lead here, and they just will not.
It makes it worse.
Yes.
It makes it worse. Because I remember back in 1998, the Mets had a collapse no one remembers. They lost their last five games. And as they were losing their last five games, the Giants and the Cubs, who they were in a pennant race with, they kept losing too. Every day. Every day they kept losing. Brant Brown dropped a fly ball in left field. I'm not kidding you. To lose a game. In Milwaukee.
Your brain is special, man.
And the Mets couldn't take advantage of it. And so what killed me in 98 versus 07 and versus this year is, I know 07 was bad. We all know, oh yeah, 7, 17 ago. The Phillies took it.
Yeah.
You know, the Mets choked, no doubt, but it was in combination with the Phillies grabbing it.
Yeah, the Reds ain't grabbing anything.
The Reds aren't grabbing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Diamondbacks have played well for a long period of time, but they lose last night. They haven't grabbed it yet. So it is making a Met playoff miss worse, what's happening around us. I'm glad it's happened. I'm glued to Reds Pirates right now. I'll keep you posted. Diamondbacks Dodgers a little bit later. Yeah. I'll keep you posted. So trust me, I want them to lose. I want as much help as we can get. But I got to admit, if this team doesn't make the playoffs with a billion-dollar payroll, with the great start they got off to, with the Reds and the Diamondbacks not grabbing it, bro, this is all-time bad.
And a lot relying on some young arms that weren't here 2 months ago, because as the Mets, you've seen the last two nights, all these pitchers you go through, you're asking in these last four games, that is a lot of outs to get from this Mets staff if these young arms don't give you innings.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing with Jonah Tong is that, and I know Tiki and I had this argument about 3 weeks ago, where he said, hey, the Mets are rushing all their young arms. And I said, not really. I think they earned their way here. Jonah Tong was rushed.
Clear.
He was rushed. And I think you're seeing it. He's not ready. He's showing you signs of what he can be, and I still believe he has a chance to be a really good pitcher in this league for the Pittsburgh Pirates once he's in a deal for Paul Skenes. But Nolan McLain and Brandon Sproat, no matter what happens tonight with McLain, no matter what happens tomorrow with Sproat, I think they did enough in the minor leagues, and they've certainly shown you signs here that they weren't rushed. If they struggle, they struggle. I think they're ready. Jonah Tong isn't ready. And he looks like he's 12 years old. And last night, like every time he does a post-game interview, I got to tell you, I feel bad. I look into his eyes and I say, boy, they really put you in a tough spot.
It's not his fault. I mean, it looks like Kodai Senga ain't coming here anytime soon the way he's been. And Sean Manaea comes out of the pen and again looks hapless. So what are the Mets supposed to do with that?
They don't have a lot of great options. Yesterday, late in the show, I brought up Kodai Senga and Tiki said, what's the update on Kodai? And I said, well, the update on Kodai is he threw a bullpen. And Tiki said, how'd he do? I said, it's a bullpen. I don't know how he did. About 5 minutes later, Carlos Mendoza met the media and did something I was surprised by. He crapped on Kodai Senga. He did. He said, well, his velocity was down. You know, there's some concerns about the heat, you know, possibly causing fatigue. I mean, basically, the Mets are done with Kodai Senga. Let's just be honest.
The heat causing fatigue?
Dude, they're done with this guy. Like, this isn't me being done with the guy. I've liked Kodai Senga. Right. I've been encouraged by what I've seen. I understand that some fans are turned off because it seems like everything needs to be perfect. I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm reading the Mets' opinion. The Mets are done with this guy. He's not going to pitch the rest of this season, and you can mark my words, he's on a different team next year. That's the vibe I'm getting, because they threw David Peterson out there 2 days ago.
They threw
a little child in Jonah Tong out there yesterday.
Child.
I feel bad. He's a man, but he just, during these post-game interviews, it feels like he's 14.
He does.
They don't want to throw Kodai Senga out there. Ask yourself why. They think he's done.
Yeah.
They don't think he can do anything. And considering the state of the Met rotation, doesn't that tell you how they feel about Kodai Senga?
Yes, because they'd be dying to use somebody they've spent that much money on him right now in a pennant race, and they just can't trust him. Now, it does leave us with tonight, Evan. I know we're going to get to it more. If tonight is finally the night where Nolan McLain isn't the Nolan McLain he's been, where do Met fans sit on that? You get a little angst at the organization, or will there be some, hey, Nolan, you didn't show up for us here tonight?
Look, I think that McLain and Sproat, and you're even seeing it with Tong,
yeah,
they're not taking the heat. The heat is the fact that they're in this situation. Like, Nolan McLain is allowed to have a bad start. Would tonight be horrible timing? Yes.
Because you also might know the Reds and Diamondbacks have won by the time he takes them out.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not denying that it would be terrible timing, but no, I think we as Met fans look at Nolan McLain and say, thank God he's here. Where would the Mets be if he wasn't? They'd be out of a playoff spot. So I think that McLain, Sproat, and you've certainly even seen with Tong, they're not taking the heat. What's taking the heat is David Stearns. What's taking the heat is Carlos Mendoza. What's taking the heat are individual bats. Look, last night, other than Juan's solo in the eighth inning, 1-5, 1-4, they were 1-16.
Awful.
They didn't do anything. So they're taking the heat.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.